since you broke the chains. When love came down and set me free. Now here's our big verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Somebody one time said, if this one don't turn you on, your switch is broke. Are you ready? Read it with me out loud. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let's move on. It says the rapture of the church. That's the next part we're talking about. Verse 17 is the third line. Then we, you see it? Third line of the next paragraph. Then we, which are alive and remain. You see the next paragraph there, folks? Yeah. Write out loud with me. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Forever with the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Ever be. That's the best part of that verse. Caught up. The word rapture, rightly stated, is not in the Bible. People will tell you, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Interesting, the word Bible is not in the Bible either. The word sovereign isn't in the Bible, but we know we serve a sovereign God. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but we know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the word rapture is not in the Bible, but that doesn't worry us any, because here it says we'll be caught up. And the Latin word for caught up here is a word that is very similar to our English word rapture. Okay? So that doesn't bother us that we don't see that word there, but we know to be caught up with the Lord is what this is talking about. Meeting the Lord in the air. That's a rapture, folks. To be taken. I'm talking about somebody one time, I like the old time preacher, he says, I'm not looking forward to no airplane ride, but I'm sure looking forward to a plein air ride. Right? Just rising to meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. Let's go ahead and read Revelation 4, verse 1. After this, now you have to understand, when he says after this, he means after the stuff that he'd written before. Now, this is Revelation 4, 1, so after this is after Revelation 1, 1, all the way up to the end of chapter 3. You'll notice that he writes seven letters to seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. He hears Jesus talking about a lampstand into the seven churches. And churches, churches, churches. Now, suddenly, he's going to give us Revelation 4:1, and we're going to read the book of Revelation all the way up through chapter 19, and the word church will not be found in the book of Revelation again. Why? Because we now live in the church age. That's what I started with, remember? The church age. And God dealt with Israel up until the time of the resurrection of Jesus as a nation. He dealt with the nation of Israel as a nation. It's almost like he had a clock going for them, and he pushed like a stopwatch, and he stopped it. And he started dealing with a church made up of Jews and Gentiles alike for a period of time. That's a period that we live in. And then, suddenly, he's going to start the clock again. Daniel, the Bible talks about Daniel's 70 weeks. And if you begin reading about those 70 weeks, 69 of those weeks have already taken place up to the time it says, then Messiah the Prince shall be cut off, but not for himself. That's when Jesus died. And it was like God pushed the stopwatch. Click. Stopped everything for the Jews. Not that there's still not a nation of Israel, but of course there is. Not that there still aren't Jewish people, of course there are. But Jewish people are saved, and Gentile people are saved in just the exact same way. They accept Jesus as their Savior. They repent and believe the gospel. All right? And a Jewish Christian is just put into the same tree as a Gentile Christian. We're all grafted into one big tree. There's not two, nothing separate here, just one big thing. But God dealing with a nation of Israel the stopwatches click like that, and really not much is going on. I mean, until 1948, it became a nation. 1967, they had that war, and now there's all kinds of stuff going on in the news every day. We understand that. The Zionist movement, people are going back to the land, and all of this is prophetic. Don't get me wrong. This is prophetic. I said the stopwatches stopped on the Daniel 70-week thing. That doesn't mean God isn't still working with the nation. But as far as these prophecies being fulfilled here, there's a little stop, little pause, a 2,000-year pause, where God's dealing with all the nations by grace in the church age. Now, suddenly, when you start reading from chapter 4 and 5, you're going to read about the church, the saints, and every time you see them, they're where? In chapter 4 and 5. They're in heaven. They're up in heaven. Let's read verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. We see the saints in heaven, represented by 24 elders and beasts worshiping and all of these things. We see saints gathered around the throne with palms in their hands and worshiping the Lord. All right? Now, if you'll notice Revelation 4:1 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16, you'll see some similar words. It says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Revelation 4:1, behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was of a trumpet, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, which said, come up hither, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Do you see the similarities between Revelation 4:1 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16? Some would say it's coincidental. I don't think anything's coincidental in God's Word, do you? But there are a lot of similarities between 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Revelation 4:1. Let's go to Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. Now this is a stumper. People who do not believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation like this verse because it seems to stump the pre-tribulation people who aren't well grounded in what they believe. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus says practically the same words in Luke, but there's a little difference. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married. They married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. All right, here's what I want to tell you. The days of Noah were wicked. The Bible says that the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. But in spite of this, the Bible talked about their activities. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage. In other words, life went on as usual. And what happened? God came and separated righteous Noah and his family and put them in an ark before even one drop of rain fell. He sealed the door himself, and then the rains came. Now, if it were in the days of Noah, they would have gotten about 7 years of rain, and then they would have gotten a boat. You know, after floating around with the poor wicked people for, 7 years. You know, while they were all, Noah and his family out there thrashing and splashing. But that's not the way it happened at all. No, life went on as usual. Suddenly Noah enters the ark and bang, that first lightning flash, that first drop of rain, that first storm cloud. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. This is here. This is one of the reasons why I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. Here, let's go on. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. How many remember the story of Lot who lived in Sodom? Even though he used to live with his uncle Abraham, things were fine. He got greedy, wanted more. Then he put his eyes towards Sodom and he went down and he lived in Sodom. And while he was there, he became an important official there in the city of Sodom, sitting against with the elders of the city. The city was wicked before God. But they, even though they were wicked, life was as usual. They didn't suspect a thing. They just lived life as usual. It says, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold. They planted, they built it. Does it sound like they were living in a tribulation period? No. Everything was fine. Everything was just floating along smooth as glass. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, this is the rapture I'm seeing this is associated with. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Alright? Now, I want to say this. I believe with all my heart, and Scripture will bear it out, that the righteous escape before judgment falls. This is not always popular. Folks will tell you, now why is it you American Christians, you Western Christians, especially you prosperity Christians, believe that you're not going to ever have to suffer anything? You're not going to have to be persecuted like Paul and the apostles, or like our poor Chinese brethren are right now. You just think you're going to just skate through life, everything will be happy and wonderful, and then all of a sudden the Lord's going to just suck you right up in his big holy vacuum cleaner, and then trouble comes. What makes you think you're so special? Here's my answer, and it's a very good one, I think. The tribulation and the trouble, that persecution that Christians experience, come from two different sources. You see, the persecution that Paul, the apostles, people in third world countries in China, and even Christians in America experience on a day-to-day basis comes from the devil through the world. But the tribulation, trouble, comes from God upon the world. Do you see the difference? God is not going to punish believers with his wrath upon the world. In any case, he's not going to do that. I don't believe he's going to do that. He's not going to insulate us from persecution, because we will experience persecution. But remember, the source of persecution is the devil. The source of the tribulation is God. Okay? So that's there's my answer for that. Okay? I don't have a better one. I hope that one will do.
Sounds prudent to me.
All right. This is Lot. Remember we were talking as it was in the days of Lot? This is what happened in Genesis 19:22. You remember that Lot was there in Sodom, and he was trying to make all kinds of excuses why he should be allowed to stick around in Sodom, or at least escape somewhere that was a nice city, because he'd gotten used to city dwelling. And so as he's trying to make all kinds of concessions with these angels, finally the angels say, "Haste thee, escape thither." A lot of people call people who believe in the rapture escapists. I've been called an escapist for preaching this. Well, absolutely right. Jesus said this himself. He said, "Pray that you might be found worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man." Accuse me of being an escapist. That's what Jesus commanded me to be. Escape. All right? The great escape, people call the rapture. It is the great escape. "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore, they called the name of that city Zoar. So he fled to the little city of Zoar. You see, until we flee to our Zion, not Zoar, until we are safe, God cannot rain down his judgment on the earth. He will not do it. I don't believe he will. Amen? All right. Psalm 91:8 tells us the same truth. "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." We will be in a safe place viewing it from the grandstands. We will not be here watching it or experiencing it.
For you have been good to me. You are my everything. You are the reason for the song that I sing. You you want.